I want to close with one last wrong view of the sovereignty of God, and it's one that is so prominent all around us. And we could probably make a long list of how this secular, ungodly world rages against the sovereignty of God, because we could make a long list. I'll just give you one to put on your list that is such a massive rejection of God as God and the sovereignty of God. It's the global environmental movement. The global environmental movement, their whole proposition is that man controls nature. God doesn't control nature at all. I mean, we have a young congresswoman right now, you know, who has taken everything she learned in the public school, that the earth is going to flood, that, you know, we're all going to die of smoke inhalation from wildfires. She's actually saying this, that we have 12 years left before, you know, if we don't turn it around, you know, don't have any children because they're all going to die. Well, we have a congresswoman who's just swallowed all of this stuff about the sovereignty of God, that man is in control of the environment. And so you've heard of the global warming proposition, climate change. It's known by different terms. And, you know, I thought it might be helpful for a few minutes to talk about that issue, particularly with you girls who are growing up in a really different world, in a way. When I was your age, the world was going to end by 1980 by overpopulation and famine. Okay? That's what the atheistic activists were saying when I was your age. But guess what? How long ago was 1980? It was a long time ago. It didn't happen. Guess what? The world didn't get overpopulated. Guess what? There wasn't global famine. In fact, the exact opposite happened. Everything is improved. There are actually very few profoundly poor people left in the world. The world has changed since the 1970s, and there's tremendous data that supports this. I won't go into it, but modern researchers are saying, "Wow, guess what? Things, disease, life expectancy, birth rates." All of these kinds of things have massively improved, order of magnitude improvements over 40 years ago. So, but we have this going on right now where people are saying the world is going to end in a few years, and, you know, the world is going to be plunged into, you know, global cataclysm because of this. Well, I called a friend of mine this last week because I thought I might just talk about it briefly. And I called Calvin Beisner, who's a friend of mine, who he really is an expert in this whole area. He conducts a ministry called the Cornwall Alliance, where he's addressing this whole matter of climate change. So I said, Calvin, I want to talk to these daughters, and they're growing up in a really messed up world on this whole matter of God's relationship with nature. He says, and I said, could you? You know, have you written anything that's just really in summary form that I could just kind of work through? And he said, you know, there's so much information on this, and he's got a vast array of information on his website, and there's so much data, there's so much detail, there's just no way to really cover it. He said, well, how about this? I could, rather than searching around and finding something, I'll just give you some bullet points. So that's what he did. This last week, he wrote up some bullet points, and I want to share them with you. When you run across people who are saying the world is going to come to an end and man is in control of the environment, here are a few things to consider. These are the bullet points. Number one, God created the forces that control the weather. If God created the heavens and the earth, and he brings light and life, and he is omnipotent, he is certainly able to control the climate and the weather. And what what Cal Beisner says is that, yeah, climate does change. It's always changed. Temperature patterns have always gone up and down in all of history. Well, guess what? That's why you have famines in Egypt 4,000 years ago. Because it happens, and it's going to continue to happen, but man isn't in control of it at all. Secondly, he said God would not command man and woman to be fruitful and multiply if he meant to use that to kill them off. Now, there are so many statistics we could cover that speak of how ridiculous it is to say that the world is overpopulated. The entire population of the world can fit in the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, the world. If you ever get on an airplane, just get it on an airplane. Maybe that's why Ocasio-Cortez doesn't like airplanes, is because when you get on airplanes, you see there's just vast unused land everywhere in the world. Doesn't really matter where you go. You're always flying over gigantic pieces of property that are, they'll take you hours even flying over them, and there's nobody there. Number three, the use of fossil fuels and natural gas and coal is one of the best things that has ever happened to preserve the ecosystem. And what he said, and now if you go to Africa, some of us have traveled to Africa. Africa is not, today is not like it was 200 years ago or 100 years ago. It's totally deforested. They've gathered up all the wood and burned it. There's no wood. People spend day after day just gathering wood wherever they can. It's crazy. You can just see it. And the place is full of smoke because they haven't embraced fossil fuels and the electricity that gets produced by it. What he says is that switching to fossil fuels brings up from the deep of the earth where nothing lives up to people, up to a place where people do live, and it gives them massive opportunities of food and environment and medicine and all these things. It's that energy, it's that power that we get from under the crust of the earth that's a blessing to life on the earth. And, to get enough wood for burning and enough hay for animals and all these kinds of things, it really requires a different kind of fuel system, and God gave mankind the ability to get it. So that's one of his points. Number four, the environment is good, not dangerous. He says, you know, when God created the world, he said, behold, it's good. It's good. It's not dangerous. Don't accept the idea that it's dangerous. It's something that God gave for the blessing of mankind. Number five, God promised to maintain the ecosystem and its rhythms. In Genesis 8:22 are the words, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, that's the way God created the world. That's how it's going to continue on. God promised he wasn't going to flood the earth, by the way. We just need to recognize that. Number six, life expectancy, health, infant mortality in developed countries is dependent upon energy from coal, oil, and natural gas. Number seven, carbon dioxide is actually good for the planet. You have people saying that carbon dioxide is bad for the planet. The more carbon dioxide, the better plants grow. He says for every doubling of CO2 concentration, there's an average of 35% increase in plant growth efficiency. So things don't die, they grow. They flourish with more CO2. And people are trying to eliminate all CO2 emissions. And so those were his points. Here's the reality. God is sovereign over the environment. Man doesn't control the weather, God does. The climate changes are in the hands of God. They're not in the hands of man. That's just a modern rejection of God as God. And I think we just should recognize that. You know, you're growing up in a world where this is going to take on epic proportions. It already has. And we may receive from the Lord leaders who will put a stop to it, but he may not as well. So, well, we've covered so many stories and incidences of the sovereignty of God. You know, our hope is that you're encouraged, that you see God as who he is, and that you'd never be frightened by any fear, that these thoughts of the sovereignty of God would drive away every fear you ever have had and ever will have, because you know that God is good and God is in control. And so as a result, you can be still. You can be still and know that he is God. And that's really the message. It's really a very simple message in a lot of ways. So be still. What a blessing it is to have God as our counselor in the midst of all the fears and questions that we have about our lives and our future. God has it all wrapped up. He's going to take care of you, and he's good.